The rewriting of history in our time, and especially the denigrating of the Christian witness in history. That's our topic for this particular portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Alvin Schmidt, who wrote a book called How Christianity Changed the World. Dr. Schmidt, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure. Yes, indeed. How Christianity Changed the World, I might just mention as an aside, it is now in 8 foreign languages. It's caught on, and I didn't have anything to do in promoting it, but I think it sort of hit the buttons in terms of what's happening here and there, and so in different countries, and it's even come out in Chinese languages, in fact, a couple of dialects. So I think people are realizing, but at the same time, Christianity does not seem to be practiced or greatly confessed even by so many Christians today. I keep thinking that Christianity or Christians for the most part today are asleep at the switch. We see some very sad statistics coming out. For example, over 50% of the evangelical Christians, and these are not the so-called liberal Christians or liberally minded ones, no longer believe when they die that their body is going to be resurrected. Now, that's a basic denial of the central teaching of Christianity. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ didn't take place, and therefore they conclude that the way would also not probably take place, Christianity is nothing but an empty shell. And it also very much disturbs me, for example, in my book, How Christianity Changed the World, which you mentioned indicates, for example, how the Christians in a very negative environment in their early years in the Roman Empire brought about an end to basically legalized abortion. And where are we today? Christians, again, have in this country been asleep at the switch, so to speak. Yes, there are a lot of Christians that are post-abortion, but there are also a lot of them one that have no problem with it. Most major denominations seem to approve it.
Well, let me push back on this. I mean, if there's any opponent of abortion in America today, it is the church, and you know, in all kinds of different iterations. It's true that there are some of the liberal mainstream denominations or mainline denominations that, approve abortion. Every once in a while, you'll read about some sort of quote-unquote chaplain of Planned Parenthood or some chapter of Planned Parenthood, and it's a Methodist minister or United Church of Christ, which is, you know, very liberal denominations represented there. But the great pushback against abortion truly comes from the Catholics and many, many evangelicals. I would say maybe
most.
Yeah.
But my point is there is no unification or united so-called in the Christian complex of denominations and some more. There is no unanimity on the topic, whereas in the early church there was.
I see. Okay. What are your thoughts on the rewriting of history? I mean, here's a microcosm of what I'm talking about. 20 years ago, we're recording this right now, September 2021, but 20 years ago was 9/11, and everybody saw, you know, the whole world saw 19 Muslim hijackers pulled this thing off. They killed 3,000 people. Fast forward to today, and some of the different school districts and some of the different school officials are saying, well, don't say anything about Islam or Muslims or, you know, this has nothing to do with that. It, you know, they were bad people that did this. And it's like, wait a minute. They were motivated by their understanding of Islam. In fact, you even wrote a book contrasting Islam and Christianity.
Yeah, exactly right. If people deny, say that all Muslims are, or the Muslim religion, let me put it this way, is peaceful, I say, please read the Quran. It is full of violent passages, and they're not in the past tense. They're all in the present tense. And so there's the example. Again, it's basically the modern liberal media, for example, tries to put on a good spin on Islam, and it's another example of in-your-face Christianity. And if the Muslims were to succeed in gaining more power, as they have in many parts of the world, the first ones they would go after is the liberal media that has been promoting them. Therein lies a great irony, which they do not know or recognize.
Yeah, I think that once the truth is known about what's going on in Afghanistan, even as you and I speak, just a month after the collapse of our efforts there in Afghanistan, it's unbelievable. I mean, the people are in horror. The public beheadings, going back to the soccer fields and killing people, and it's just going to be terrible. And it just seems to be, there seems to be no end to this.
That's quite right, and it's going to accelerate because the forces of evil are seemingly gaining momentum, and again, I tend to think that Christians have been laid back and don't really realize we live many ways in a social cocoon, and even in churches, for example. I remember many years ago when I was a student at the seminary, and that's a long time ago, that it had an outside speaker. In fact, he was speaker of the Lutheran Hour in those days, and you're, I'm sure, familiar with that. And he mentioned, he says, I go to a lot of congregations, but I rarely hear pastors preach on repentance. And I might ask, when have you last heard that word in a sermon? Again, we have gone soft on it. We live in a day and age, as you mentioned, the rewriting of history. But we also, for example, are practicing what the French philosopher Camus spoke of, the crimes of logic. And what am I talking about? Well, gender dysphoria, for example, that's going on. There is nothing absolute. We all know that relativism has been undermining basic Christian values as well as non-Christian values, because a world of where everything is relative, ultimately nothing will survive in the long run. But we have, for example, we have been quiet too much as Christians for at least 25 years. You can walk into the average furniture store, and you'll see bedrooms and talks about for you and your partner. What's going on there? It's no longer a married spouse. It's a partner, which basically means it's promoting homosexual lifestyle. And we as Christians have basically sat back and have never even complained about it. Even most of our members are sort of unconsciously accepting it and not even aware that this is confronting some basic Christian values. And likewise, when we advocate for them, it's up to the individual to determine whether he is male, female, or something other, female. I am sometimes reminded whether we might think of the Church of Laodicea in the Book of Revelation, out neither hot nor cold, therefore I will vomit you out of my mouth. We all know the old saying that Edward Burke once said, the best way for evil to conquer is for good men to do nothing. And all too many Christians today tend not to be really aware of how dangerous it is, and with this new philosophy, if I may call it that, namely wokeism, is gaining momentum today and becoming the only thing that's absolute in a so-called relative world. And it's an extremely dangerous thing because it's undermining every basic value except their own, which is basically a value of power without any input from the public or the people. In other words, another thing that's going on today, for example, the Antifa group, they are famous in coming up with a name that supposedly criticizes Nazi tactics when they themselves are exactly using those tactics, which is, again, a contradiction in our society and basically another example of not really understanding what's going on. We see what's going on in the terms of homosexual marriages, ordaining homosexuals, in many, many denominations today. This is why I sometimes tend to think of the Church of Laodicea's statement, thou art neither hot nor cold, or I shall vomit you out of my mouth. I hope that the good Lord at this point is not about to do this, but we're certainly going in that direction.
Hmm. So as far as the whole how Christianity changed the world, that you wrote about and so forth, bottom line is, when you have true Christianity being practiced in people's lives and in a society, it's a positive force, correct? I mean, we know about the Inquisitions, we know about the witch hunt and things like that, but those are aberrations. Those are, they fell short of, you know, they weren't practicing what the Bible says, do this, do that, do the other.
Yes, another thing, right, there were witch hunts and there were other kinds of evil acts that happened, so on and so forth. These are the examples that the anti-Christian media and others are trying to promote. They are trying to generalize from an exception. And again, one of the things that we often don't understand, and even, you know, our so-called education in decent schools has often not really been telling the people that you cannot generalize from an exception. An exception generally proves a rule. It doesn't disprove it. And the rule was here that, for the most part, Christianity did not engage in violence and in misjustice acts. Those were exceptions. But then again, this is not what we hear. So we tend to hear, for example, that this is Christianity. No, it isn't. It's, again, a matter of rewriting history, as you've said. And that this is another thing that really is not being taught, and people aren't aware of how history is rewritten. We know this from, we should have learned a long time ago from how the Soviet Union did it. And we're trying to rewrite history, for example, when we're demolishing all the statutes in our society that basically is what the same thing that the communists did. And what it finally will amount to is a nation that does not know its past, has no future.
So true. Well, how do we turn this around?
Well, one thing that we need to do is what you're doing, you're trying to make people aware of it. In addition to making them aware of it, we have to do an awful lot of praying, and we have to, with our own friends, indicate, for example, like I said a moment ago, that we are asleep and we have to wake up. That's about the only thing we have, but we aren't really doing it. We need to encourage one another. We need to not be afraid to be seen as a radical, or as we will quickly be branded and already are. The early Christians were branded too. That didn't deter them. I like to think that the early Christians were a model example, particularly the first couple of hundred years. Under severe Roman persecution, they did not buckle. And finally, they ultimately turned the world upside down, as we already read in the book of Acts, that they were being accused of, Peter and John, for example. These men have turned the world upside down. And we even have some Bibles that translate that very weakly. For example, these people, failed to mention that they have turned the world upside down, but were rather an exception of some kind.
All right, and so we have 1 minute to close. What closing thought do you want to leave us with about the need to, you know, have a revitalized Christianity in our country and in our world?
Well, I think we need to, as Christians, try and encourage our pastors, our teachers in schools, for example, in Christian schools, to talk more frequently about how society is confronting us. Culture is a very powerful phenomenon, and usually it betrays the people within its own society, and they don't recognize it. We have, as a sociologist, I would say, we have really no cultural consciousness, and the lack of cultural consciousness is part of the problem, that we aren't really realizing how our country has changed and is changing, and is changing in a galloping speed, which where all morality is already breaking down, as we see, for example, in terms of the last summer riots that we had across the country. Right. We need to, and we need to encourage them to not be afraid to talk about it in Bible classes and others, and also not to forget to pray, even not as a group, but individually. Other than that, I don't know of any other solutions. I wish there were, but I don't think that there were any others in the early church either, but they were consistent in doing this, and it made a difference.
All right, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, thank you so much for being with us. Again, the name of his book, How Christianity Changed the World.